Good morning. You know, I seem like I say it every Sunday, but you listen to the songs and how well they're going to match up, especially those first two songs we sang, Exalting God Above All, and then Seeking Him First. It just led so well into this morning's lesson. You know, we talked about a few things this morning, and we've been talking for a few couple weeks about the life of Jesus. We talked about how he started his mission at the water, and we talked this morning about him teaching with authority and gathering his disciples together. So we ended the Sunday school lesson with Jesus gathering his disciples and the event he had with Simon Peter this morning. Now we start the Galilee ministry, the later part of it. But Jesus is going to do something with his disciples that impacts you. Jesus is going to teach them a lesson that they need to know before they do anything else out. The verses you see up here are some of the verses that cover this part of this journey of the apostles. And we're going to talk about so many great things that are getting ready to happen. The feeding of the 5,000, the story of Jesus walking on water, all these different events that are getting ready to occur. But Jesus has to teach his disciples a valuable lesson before they can get started. You know, Jesus goes back to his hometown, where he was born and raised, and everybody knows him. Everybody loved him. They remember Jesus as a little boy running through the streets and the carpenter's son, and then Jesus grew and developed as a carpenter as himself. And so this would be an area that you would think they would be so excited for seeing Jesus and hearing what he had to say and all the great things. But let's take a look. And there's a couple things I want to point out right from the very beginning. And this is in Mark. I didn't put it up here, but I got it down here. Mark chapter 6, as we were reading, is verse 1 and 2 that we're going to start out with. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. He brought his disciples to his hometown. I'd be excited to show people my hometown and the people I grew up with and all that. So he's bringing the disciples, you would think, so he can say, look at my wonderful people here. And let's see what happens. And when the Sabbath day came, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many who heard him were amazed. So there's no doubt about his teaching. And the disciples are present watching this and watching these people, listening to these people talk. Where did this man get these things? They ask. What is this wisdom that has been given him? They recognize it. They recognize there's something different, something great, something awesome about this individual. What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? So they paint the pictures of these people being amazed in the hometown that he grew up in. And then what happens? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James and Joseph? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. The disciples are watching his own family, friends, and people take offense to him. Because they were realizing and understand that he was giving a great message. Then all said, wait a minute, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't he just a carpenter? And they were getting upset. And what was read earlier, and I want you to take note of this, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town among his relatives and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of wisdom. They saw what he was doing beforehand. They were listening to him and knew that he was coming from authority. They knew that somebody gave him that great wisdom. And they knew all that. And as soon as they realized who he come and where he came from, it all stopped. Jesus was not able to heal but a few people. And it makes us realize that we can turn whatever great gifts God gives us and turn them off. Because he was healing people prior to that. And once they realized and put it in their own minds, their own thought process, they stopped themselves from being healed because of their lack of faith. And Jesus took his disciples to see this, to show that among my own people that I'm going to be rejected. So what does he do? We'll do most of our study in Matthew chapter 10 through the most of the chapters. He's preparing the disciples and sending them off onto a limited mission. He wants their message to preach the good news. The kingdom is at hand. He wants them to tell the people what great things are coming. And he gives them directions, we see through here. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying this, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He told them to go to the Israelite people. Go to the towns that you know. The people that you know, that knows you. Go to them. Preaching, hey, what we've been talking about for thousands of years in the Old Testament and Isaiah and all that is coming to be true. The Messiah is here. The kingdom is at hand. Everything that we've been preaching and teaching and prophesying for years is about to come true. We've been waiting all these years for this. That's what he wanted to go to. He didn't stop it there. He told them to heal the sick, raise the dead, clean those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. In other words, Christ gave them the power to do everything that Jesus has the power to do. Everything. There was nothing held back to the disciples. He gave them the ability to do it all. But we do have to remember one thing. You know, the disciples did struggle. They were having issues too. Because just as we talked about in class, I told you to remember this moment. You go to Matthew chapter 17, go ahead a little bit. There's a story about a disciple facing a young man who has the demon in him. And he's doing everything he can to get that demon out of him, and he has not the ability to do it. And Jesus comes along, and the demon is gone. So the disciples ask him, why couldn't I do that? You gave me all your power. Why couldn't I do that? And Jesus told him, truly I tell you, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. In other words, you can move this mountain from right here to right there. That's how much power I gave you. He didn't hold nothing back. The only thing that held the disciple back at that moment was their own faith. This lesson that we're getting ready to teach you this morning is not an easy lesson. And that's one thing that you need to recognize, that you have the power to make a difference in people's life. All you have to do is have faith. So when we talk about the difficult things we're getting ready to talk about, realize this, as the disciples had to learn. It's not going to be easy. It's probably going to be one of the hardest things that you ever go through because of the subjects that we're going to talk about. But you can overcome anything if you just follow Christ's example. Remember, there's two things that we're talking about throughout all this lesson. The two things we need to be more Christ-like. And this love story is about you. If you can remember those two things as we go through this lesson, you're going to get so much more out of it, realizing how much effort was put into you and how much we need to be more like Christ. So if you take these lessons to go that way. So as he's telling them, continue to give them, he give them all the power they need, the direction he gave them in Matthew chapter 11, and into whatever city or town you shall enter, inquire who is in it is worthy, and there abide until you go then. Whatever city you come to, find out who's ever worthy. In other words, find out who you can stay with. Because you know what they carried with them when Jesus sent them out on this mission? They carried a shirt on their backs and a staff to walk. They carried no food, no extra clothing, no nothing. Because Christ wanted them to realize, when you're on my mission, I take care of you. And that's something we need to understand and realize. When we're on Christ's mission, when we're doing Christ's work, He's going to take care of us. We don't have to worry about what are we going to wear, if we're going to have food, because He's going to provide. Because He sent them out on the mission from go to town, and He provided them nothing at that moment. But they were always taken care of. He warned them. And this is what's the warning that you need to have this morning. Behold, I send you out forth as sheep amidst of wolves. But be ye wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Wait a minute. Why would they have to worry? He's sending them out to where people know them. And they know the people they're teaching. Why would that be a pack of wolves? Because of what they're about to preach. And how did he tell them to handle it? Be smart like a servant. Be smart like a snake. Be able to leave and get out when you need to. Be harmless as a dove. So I told them, hey, and I'm telling you, now what we're talking about, when you talk about family and friends and loved ones, it is so hard not to get frustrated when you're trying to do what's best for them. But God, Christ Himself, told us, be wise on the way you do it and be gentle as a dove. Because your family are going to be the ones that will reject you the most. The people that you care about the most is the one that's going to despise you the most. Isn't that hard? The family members that we deal each and every day with, and we've talked about in multiple Sunday classes before when we talk about our own family members. I'm trying. Yes. But also he gave them the direction when they go through a town and do not accept them, because there's going to be whole towns that don't accept them. He told them, wipe the sand off your feet and move on. It is not the time and place. Not saying it won't have an impact. It's not the time and the place. And when you fight those family members and work toward those family members who do not want to listen, you're wasting valuable resources that could be spent on somebody else who's willing to take it. Valuable time and resources. It's a hard thing to do, but sometimes with your own family, like to sand off your feet and move on to somebody else. And that's what he had to teach his disciples, as we will talk about more. But when they deliver you up, take on the how or what ye shall speak. Let me read it one more time. But when they deliver you up, take on the thought on how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you. And what that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. You're always worried. How am I going to handle this? How am I going to address this? This is talking about the very moment that the whole town turns against them and takes them to the governor and they want to do something to them. That's got to be a scary thought. All I'm trying to do is help them, and they're going to punish me. Well, he told Jesus, don't worry about it. I'll put the words you need to speak when the time comes. So don't be worried about standing up for Christ and doing what is right. Because the good Lord, if you have the right heart, will provide you the words that you need. Remember the disciples. We didn't really get to talk about it some more because I'll tell you, I've said it before, when I study these lessons, there's so much I learned throughout the week that I can't put into a lesson. I want to tell you so much that I picked up here and there. I just can't fit it in 45 minutes and 30 minutes here in a lesson for you. There's so much there. But remember, He will provide you with what you need to say when the time comes. You ain't got to worry about it. You ain't got to struggle with it. Remember the disciples, what I was getting ready to say. Remember the type of disciples. He picked fishermen. He picked common people to be His disciples. He picked people like us. So if He tells them and will provide for them, how much more will He provide for you? You got to have what? The faith. Remember, the faith that the Lord will take care of it. Because we're going to talk about some things that ain't going to be easy. Because in continuing in Matthew chapter 10, verse 21 and verses 22, it tells us this. Brothers will betray brothers to death, and a father and his child and children will raise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You'll be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. You're going to have family members, friends, people you grew up with who may despise you because of the way that you chose. It's going to turn family against family, father against father, son against son, daughter against mother, mother, brother and sisters against one another. And you all have experienced that. If you think about it, because how many times have you heard from your family, quit talking to me about that? I don't want to hear what you believe. Or that's the way you feel. And God invites in arguments about Christ. You got to remember, they're not hating you. They're hating your Father. And that's going to pay a price on them if they don't change their ways. But remember what Jesus told us. Be smart on the way you handle things. As be as gentle as a dove. And He had to put the disciples through that for them to understand that. In verse 24, as the disciples now above, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. Is it enough for the disciple that he becomes as his teacher and a slave as his master? Who are we trying to imitate? Who are we trying to be like? Who do we want to be our example? The one who's teaching us. We're not greater than him. We don't need to be fighting battles because of personal battles with our family. We've got to remember what we're trying to do. We're trying to be like our master. And teach and preach the way He wants us to. It's not easy. Because when it comes to family, it's one of the hardest emotional things that you can go through. You want, those are the people you have all your heart into it. Your heart's in the right place because you don't want to see them. So you're emotionally attached to the point that you'll push them away. And you're hurt that they're rejecting you. Which you've got to understand, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting your Father. Matthew chapter 10, 26 through 31. Therefore, do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetop. You keep doing what you do. You know the truth. Don't hold it back. They don't want to listen. You move on to somebody else. You move on to the housetops for anybody who is willing to listen. You don't hold the gift that's been given to you because you're struggling with a family member. I'm trying to save this one. I'm trying to make a difference on this, my brother or my sister or my mom or my father or my wife or my husband or my child. That's hard. When you talk about your children and your spouse and those who are the closest to you, it's hard to be able to say, all right, this is not the time and place. You made your choice. But don't stop preaching. Don't stop doing the things that you are going to do. Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from the Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore you are more valuable than many sparrows. The love story. Remember that love story? Our heavenly, I don't know how many sparrows there are in this world. I don't have a clue. But our Father knows when one falls to the ground. Our Father knows our name. He knows every hair on our head. Some of them is easier to count more than others. But He knows every hair on our head. In other words, He knows every aspect about us. There's nothing He don't know about us. And that can be good, but also can be bad. Because I really don't want Him knowing all my struggles and all my sins. But He does. And He still comes after me. I look at this week and the struggles I've gone through and saying to myself, and He still loves me. Despite myself, He still loves me. You need to know the value that you have. What everybody else thinks doesn't matter. Because your reward is coming. You're trying to give them the same reward. And if they accept it, that's their choice. If they don't, that's their choice. You cannot be God and make them change their mind. You have to focus on those that you can make the difference on. I'm not saying give up, because you planted the seed and it's there. And they see how you handle that situation and handle all the other situations that you do with love and compassion and mercy. They may hit them one day and say, yeah, there's definitely something different about that individual. I want to be a part of that. So we got to remember that. Because He tells us, whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. There's nobody out there that I will not put myself in jeopardy of losing my Christ, saying, I know him. I will not give it up for anybody. Any family member, any friends, because I know the value of that. And we need to recognize the value that we have in that. Matthew 10:34-36 tells us this, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace on earth, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those who are in his own household. What He's trying to teach His disciples, where your biggest enemies are going to be, is within your own family. And that's hard. Those who are the ones you want to save the most. Tell me that's not true. The ones you love is who you want to be there with in heaven on that day. That's who you want in there. But that's their choice. And we got to get to the point where we can accept that. And it's funny how Jesus made that their first mission, to be rejected by their own people, their own family, their own friends, to teach them, you got to move on and affect those that you can. It's the toughest lesson to learn, and started right off the bat to make sure that they knew. In Matthew 34-37 and Matthew 10, verse 37, he who loves a father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves the son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he who has found his life shall lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake shall find it. Now, that's a hard saying, but he said it right up front. Anybody who loves their mother or father or son and daughter more than me are not worthy of me. Don't put anybody before your salvation, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how hard. I'm not saying give up. Please don't get me wrong on that part, because you don't know what life events will change their life. You don't know how you're starting to live like Christ, and they start seeing, wow, there's something different in that person, how that could change somebody's life. Don't give up on them, but let them make their own choices. Work on those that you can impact and make a difference. Verse 40, he who receives you receives me. Whoa, wait a minute, I like that part. You got people that's going to receive your word and going to receive what you have to say and going to receive that part. And Jesus said, I receive them too. I accept them a part of my family. They're going to join in. That excitement, when I told you last Sunday, when you get baptized, how the Father in heaven gets excited. That's what he does for each and every soul that we're able to save. When we get somebody baptized and infect somebody that way, the heavens are celebrating. And we need to remember that. The heavens are celebrating a life that is saved. He who receives a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of the disciple give to them of these little ones, even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say unto you, shall not lose his reward. The impact that you do and what you realize when you make that, when somebody gives you a water or helps you out to accomplish something, not only is that person going to be blessed tremendously for helping you out, but you're going to be rewarded. We need to understand and realize what we're here for. It's not an easy road. When he talks about where we got to love Christ more than a mother and father, and then we got to carry a cross, and we got to do all these things, this trip is not going to be easy. But it's vital. And it's not an option. You can't pick and choose of what you want to do. I want to love my parents, so I'll carry the cross. Or I'm going to carry despise my parents, because some of us might have problems with our parents, and not carry the cross. There's no picking and choosing God's will. His will is His will and not ours. So when you face those family members and those struggles and difficulties, and I faced them through many years, I'm probably one of the examples there that I've struggled with, not only brothers and sisters, but other family members, that you just want to shake them. Do you not realize? I know you know what's right. Especially that brother and sister who falls away. You ever thought about that one? That brother and sister, you just want to go up to them. I know you know what's right. Why aren't you doing it? It's their choice. All you can do is have love and mercy and drop the seed and preach them the gospel and don't change who you are. Once you show them what the example is supposed to be, they see you do it out of love and mercy and grace, and that you will not change no matter what, even if you lose them as a brother. That's going to have an impact on them. It's not going to be easy, but you can have an impact. Huge impact. This is one of those sermons that are brought to you this morning. It's one of the, I think, to me, is one of the most hardest emotional ones to talk about. When we talk about our loved ones, our brothers and sisters in Christ who are close to us, who come up in the church and we look around this room, are not in this room anymore. Why? Because they chose not to be. You can do what, I know what Jerry and Wesley have done. You can go visit. You can go visit. I know other members who have visited me when I was in my difficult times in life. It made a difference because I came back. I know it, but it's so frustrating. Why don't they get it and understand it? Some of them grew up in the church. But you got to realize it's their choice. All I'm encouraging you this morning as we run out of time is don't change who you are. Don't change the Christian that you're supposed to be. In front of your family, your friends, and all that. Because when you face that non-family member that the disciples are getting ready to do after this mission, you have a greater impact. Because you understand what it is to show the love and mercy to them. The patience you need with them. Because if you can have patience with your family, you can have patience with anybody. Isn't that the truth? So once you learn that lesson and understand that, you have a bigger impact to a total stranger. I don't know what you're going through this morning, and I'm sorry for keeping you a little bit longer this morning, but I love to talk. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what struggles you're going through, but we're a family here. Jerry will be here. Wesley will be here for you. They'll pray for you. Nothing better than having an elder of the church pray over you. And then the church behind them pray for you. You can't ask for a better experience than that. So anything we can do for you this morning, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.